America Meditating Blog Talk Radio Show. We collect wisdom, hear stories, and inspire each other. I'm Sister Jenna. Tune in live from Monday through Friday at 8 a.m.
Entire world watched.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And humanity saw that the sky was not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Do you like to meditate? Have you tried to meditate? Have you struggled with meditation? Why don't you visit one of the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center? Visit brahmakumaris.org.
There's no place like home.
Safely is just a click away. Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat for more information. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Take a break. Breathe. Why don't you visit the Peace Village Learning and Retreat Center, 518-589-5000. In this meditation, I invite you to become aware of the two types of consciousness that reside within the soul. Let us choose the consciousness of light over the darkness of past stories, the history that gets into our way. Let us now remember our connection to the supreme energy, the supreme soul, the being of light. For far too long, we have allowed the external forces to dictate our inner force. And at this time, I choose to get off the grid and step inside the heart to be myself. I choose to no longer be under the influence of what the world tells me, what my parents have told me, my spouse, friends, or anyone who has been a negative influence in my life. In this meditation, I stand strong in the original, eternal, imperishable worth of the soul. I, the being of light, the soul of power, I step into the heart and I become a being of love, a being of light. Welcome to America Meditating Radio Show. I'm your host, Sister Jenna, broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum in the nation's capital. And if you have been following us and growing along with us by now, you would have known that last year alone we catered to 200 events. So it is a museum constantly on the move and constantly perhaps conveying the story that meditation is an active affair, not just a sitting down process and emptying the mind. I don't know why we would want to empty our minds anyway, when life is so filled with beautiful experiences for us to really nurture ourselves with. So the more that we're able to actually create a pattern of positive and pure thoughts, then to me that's what's called off the grid into the heart. And I hope you've enjoyed the release of my new CD, Off the Grid Into the Heart, which I just played at the opening of the show. You can go online to Amazon or iTunes and get as many copies as you'd like for your friends. This is one that you can do when you're moving into different meetings or driving in the car or cooking or just wanting to sit at home and just be after a long day, or while you're on the treadmill you could actually listen to Off the Grid Into the Heart and get something mentally, spiritually, emotionally, as well as you're physically doing your exercise. So this is really something very near and dear to me, and would love your support in making that a part of your routine and a part of your life, and making it filled with love and light. Please stay tuned. We're going to have Mark Lersch on shortly. He's a certified inner bonding facilitator, and Mark's going to be telling us a lot about how to be a little bit more up there, a little bit more comfortable with dealing with our lives. We had a wonderful conversation, which you can view on the Meditation Museum on live stream with Ingrid Vandervelt. And there's something that Ingrid said in the conversation, is that the higher you're becoming, or the higher you're getting in life, the greater the challenges are that show up in front of you. And I will take it also in a deeper perspective as well, that if you're not growing, then you're not being challenged. And so the ego has this tendency of, when it sees that you're breaking your mold and becoming more liberated and free, which means you have to be more inclusive and you have to be more social and more adaptable and flexible, then the ego doesn't have a room. And so when the ego sees that it's losing its position within your personality, it tries to pull you back to the old and the familiar, the part of you that makes you think you're doing a lot, but in reality you're not. It's just an attachment to an idea, a title, an identity, a gender, a role, a position. Those are the illusions. And so I really appreciated that, and I wanted to throw that out to all of our listeners, that if you feel like you're being challenged, check if maybe you're really moving forward. Are you trying to break something old? Are all the thoughts that you were having about being a better person, are they manifesting your environment and your relationship to be just that? But is the old just pulling you down and saying, nope, nope, come back here, this is where I want you? So food for thought on that one, huh? Thank you. has opened my eyes from Lucinda Drayton on her Thousand Angels CD. Well, we are honored to welcome Mark Lersch, who is the Certified Inner Bonding Facilitator and Spiritual Psychotherapist in private practice in Longmont, Colorado. His approach to healing is influenced by his own personal journey, and Mark has studied a variety of spiritual paths and approaches, and his interest is in assisting people in finding their own unique spiritual path in life. Mark holds a second degree black belt in Aikido, which is what Sister Gita practiced, and the nonviolent martial art, which teaches how to find one's own center. Mark has worked as a primary and group therapist at a residential trauma treatment center and served as the clinical manager of an intensive outpatient program. And today we welcome Mark to the American Meditating Radio Show. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good. Good morning to you from sunny and cold Colorado.
Well, good morning to you from a sunny and cold Washington, D.C. And as I'm even saying that, Sister Gita is doing Aikido in the studio.
Wow. She's warming
you
up with some
her
Aikido.
Memories. Yeah, there you go. You brought back some memories of back in the days when she gave her instructor a headache. So, Mark, thank you for joining us on the America Meditating Radio Show. And I love the work that's being done by Dr. Paul at Inner Bonding. We've had wonderful conversations, and I've had her on the air quite a few times as well. What inspired you, Mark, to get onto your path of spirituality? What's been your major influence?
Well, you know, that's always a big question. But for me, you know, I was very fortunate to have a mother that had a lot of interesting books lying around the house. And so I grew up reading about pyramids and crystals and auras and chakras and all that kind of stuff. But I also really, really wanted to fit in into my culture, into society. I wanted to fit in with my friends. And so I really hid my spirituality for most of my youth, at least. And it wasn't until I hit my mid-20s when life really started to hurt and I really started to suffer that I started to take it more seriously. And I remember one moment in particular, and this is not a very flattering moment for me, but I was driving home from a ski trip with my brother, and I was about 25 years old, and I think it was probably the worst hangover I ever had in my entire life. And I remember something just sort of snapped inside of me where I realized, you know, it's time to get serious about this spiritual thing. It's time to begin to surrender to something bigger and greater. You know, my ego could only take me so far, and I was really pretty depressed, pretty lonely. I was suffering a lot. And so there's been a series of events in my life, which I think probably for many people just triggers this coming up against this roadblock and the limits of our ego and the hard kind of shell and crust that our ego creates for us. And we then surrender. We yield to something bigger and deeper. For me, that's the soul. And I've had a number of experiences like that. Another major one was when I started working as a therapist, actually, and I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And I realized I didn't know, and I needed to open to something that did know. And so I think for me, it's just an ongoing, ever-deepening process of coming up against the suffering of life caused by being so identified with our egos and then surrendering and yielding to something that's much greater than ourselves.
That's beautiful. You know, it's interesting because we never know what we're doing when we, you know, get onto our own path of, I don't even know if I call it soul searching anymore. I'm calling it more when you just start to listen to what is the real voice, what is the real you that is sitting inside of the soul, because that's the person that you really want to have shine. And that's the personality that you really want to live out this thing called life, so you can be authentic, really. And so I get that. And it's always interesting that it's an event or a particular period in our lives that tend to guide us back inside to listen at a much more profound level. Now, how do you live your spirituality in what we might coin this mundane, everyday life? Is there a specific spiritual practice that you apply on a day-to-day basis?
Well, one of the things that really got my wife and I interested in Buddhism was this principle of mindfulness. And so in the late 90s, early 2000, my wife and I, Karen and I, actually went to Plum Village, which is Thich Nhat Hanh's monastery in France. And we really got to experience what it's like to be immersed in mindfulness, which is to be really present and open to your moment-to-moment experience. And so that was really life-changing for us. And that's something that we have tried periodically and actually in an ongoing way to try to incorporate more into our lives. And so, you know, I have formal practices that I do, meditation, prayer on a daily basis, reading spiritual material, listening to spiritual podcasts like this one, for instance, that really help me attune and connect with spirit. But then in terms of the mundane, you know, how to live it in everyday life, I really love the work of someone that most people, I think, in this country don't know about. His name was Karlfried Graf Durkheim. It's a mouthful. It's a great name. He was a German psychotherapist who had lived in Japan for a while and brought a lot of the Eastern practices back to the West, but really incorporated that along with more traditional psychotherapy and understanding from like Carl Jung. And one of his major practices, body awareness, being aware of where you hold your attention in any given moment. So, for instance, right now, am I chiefly in my head? Or do I have a sense of self down in my heart? Or perhaps even deeper, and this is what the Japanese used to practice a lot, especially in the martial arts such as in Aikido, is my awareness down in my belly, down in my hara, is what they call it. And basically, when we're up in our heads trying to go through life and deal with the mundane, we're in our ego. We're pushing and pulling and dealing with the stressors of life from our intellect and from our ego. But if we can take a moment to breathe and drop out of the head, can even do it right now, and come down into the belly, you really find more of your true self there. You find your contact with your essence, with your spirit, and with your soul, and you can start to engage life from that place. And so one of my absolute favorite spiritual exercises is to ride my motorcycle through the mountains and really notice how I'm either stuck up in my head trying to steer from my shoulders, or can I steer from my whole body, from my core, from my essence, and be aware of thoughts of fear and anxiety or anger arise, but not get caught in them. So that's one of my favorite practices, is this combination of mindfulness, being present, and then also body awareness. Where am I centered in my body in this moment?
I like that. Motorcycle meditation, I'm on board.
Yeah. I think two could do it.
I know, I'm totally into motorcycles. Yeah. I love that. Just get me a Tesla next to you and I'm all fine.
I might
be the only sister in a sari that loves motorcycles.
I love it. Come on out to Colorado, ride some mountains.
I'm going to definitely take you up on that.
Expense.
For sure. Now, when we look at what is a spiritual psychotherapist, can you explain to our listeners, what is a spiritual psychotherapist? I thought basically when you are a psychotherapist, it still, you know, takes you from the spirit. Is there something different to that?
Well, the reason I throw the additional descriptor on there for myself as a spiritual psychotherapist is because typically when people think of psychotherapy, I think many people think about working with your emotions and working with your triggers and so forth, and in order to function better as a human being in the world. And it doesn't necessarily always mean that people are coming from the perspective of evolving and growing as a soul. You know, so for instance, a lot of people these days focus on, you know, manifesting and creating, and sometimes they're upset that they don't create or manifest the health or the abundance that they think that they want. And something that I've just become aware of over the years is that the soul really trumps everything that the ego thinks it wants. And so even though what I do in a session may not necessarily look a lot different from perhaps other therapists, my orientation is such that what I hold in mind, my highest intention when I sit with a client, is to really support them as in growing and evolving as a soul. And sometimes that means when they're dealing with very difficult life situations, of course, I have great compassion and love for what they're going through and empathy as well. But also, simultaneously, I hold in mind that everything has the potential to serve the soul's growth. And so just from my own life, I know that some of my greatest disappointments and catastrophes have been some of my biggest opportunities for growth as a soul, even though my ego did not like it at all in the moment. And the other aspect in terms of why I call myself a spiritual psychotherapist is that I really surrender the session to spirit. I feel like there's this field that is created between myself and the client. And when we join together and really surrender into that, I really feel that this intuitive guidance that comes to me comes from spirit, and spirit is in charge, not my ego. At least that's my intention in theory.
Great. That's beautiful. That's good. That's good stuff. Well, you practice the martial art of Aikido. How does that fit in with spirituality and the work you do with your clients?
Well, Aikido is, you know, it's a nonviolent martial art in the sense that it is very martial and strong and powerful, but the intent is not to harm the other person. And, you know, in life, we have a lot of stressors thrown at us. People in life are pushing and pulling on us, and that's what happens in Aikido. You have people literally pushing on you, pulling on you, trying to punch you, coming at you. And what we learn to do in Aikido is to drop out of the intellect, out of the ego, which just wants to aggress back or wants to collapse into, you know, this kind of a doormat or a flea. And instead, we learn to drop down into that hara, down into the center, and hold our center in the face of those stressors so that we can redirect them, so that we can blend with the attacker, blend with the energy that's coming at us, and actually create something out of that energy that doesn't harm us and doesn't harm the other person. And so with some clients, I actually do some Aikido. I have done some Aikido, at least the clients I have in person here in Colorado. And it's very helpful for people to have a physical experience of what it's like to drop down into their center. But most of the time, what I do in Aikido just bleeds over naturally and sort of indirectly to the work that I do, because when I sit and hold a space for a client, what I try to do is drop out of my head, come down into my center, my hara, and open the spirit. And when I do that, it tends to create an opportunity for the client to experience that for themselves as well. It's very similar to that idea of if you have one tuning fork and you strike it and you have another one nearby, it also resonates. That's probably the most indirect way that my Aikido training translates over. And for those clients that have an interest in Aikido, I love going into it with them and teaching them some of the basic elements and principles of it.
That's wonderful. Are there any challenges when you work with some of your clients? Are there things that really pop out at you that you go, wow, this is showing me my biggest personal challenge working with a particular client? Have there been some learning curves for you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think that that's one of the greatest fears, but also the greatest gifts of working in this kind of capacity, is that we are constantly continuing to grow. And so for me personally, I'd say the biggest challenge I have for myself in working with clients is when clients are very stuck in their head and very stuck in this belief, this story, that there's something wrong with me. There's something that I need to fix about me. And because there's a part of me that's very codependent that wants to jump in there and help them and figure things out and fix it for them. And instead, what my challenge is to do is to drop out of my head, to not go into trying to fix it, and to recognize there's no problem here in the person fundamentally. There's nothing wrong with this human being. They are inherently perfect and beautiful. And the only real problem are these unloving thoughts that are playing in my mind and in the client's mind that need to be addressed, turned towards, brought awareness to them, and then brought spirit to in the form of kindness and compassion and gentleness, and then those thoughts dissolve and then the problems disappear. So, but that's my biggest challenge, is to not get caught in thinking there's a problem that needs to be fixed in the client.
I like that. Mark, thank you for the work that you're doing, and I know that it's an extension from Dr. Margaret Paul's search in her journey, and it's powerful how all of this ripples out and also the work that you're doing. And don't be surprised if I come knocking at your door to go for a bike ride in Colorado.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd love that.
We're looking forward to that connection. Before I let you go, could you share with our listeners what your favorite life quote is that you're living by? And is there any event or programs that you've got coming up that you'd like individuals to know about? And is there a website that they could find you on?
Yes, thank you. My website is just my name, which is marklersch.com. MarkLersch.com. People can also find me on the Inner Bonding website under the facilitator section, and that's innerbonding.com. I don't have any upcoming workshops at the moment. I work with people both here locally under my license as a psychotherapist, but I also work with people worldwide as an inner bonding facilitator. So I'm reachable at my website. They can also reach me at my email. Even if people just have some questions or comments, please feel free to contact me. My email address is smilingdeeply@gmail.com.
Love that. That's great. Thank you so very much, Mark. All the very best.
Thank you. Blessings.
All right. Same to you. So it comes to the point that, you know, we do learn a lot from each other's stories, and we also really have to go inside to work on our own issues. We do. Whether you can do it riding a bike, doing Aikido, really at the end of the day is what are you thinking, what are you feeling, and checking if the energy is blocked somewhere in your body. Is it in the chest? So is there a heart or a love issue? Is it in the stomach? Is there something in which you're just holding it? It's not letting you digest what's happening for you in your life. Is it in your head that it, you know, you're constantly having aches because you're just not processing the thoughts effectively or giving more love? These are signs. They're signals. And so they will help us, if we pay attention properly, to release us from that unnecessary pain. So if you want some more information on Mark, just go to marklersch, LERSCH.com, and I'm sure that Mark will be able to assist you along the way. Now remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and let us all start to really love each other the same and be people of love. Thank you so much for joining the America Meditating Radio Show, and download the free app, Pulse for Peace, to get the archived shows 24/7 on demand, or just go to Stitcher, TuneIn, AHA Radio, or even visit us at the Meditation Museum. Take care, everybody. Here's People of Love by Sanatan Kaur.